bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. What's today? It's Wednesday. Is it Monday? Is it Friday? I think it's Tuesday. We play that game. Because we never can tell what's coming up, right? Because every day, oh, at 6 o'clock, so-and-so. And everybody goes, actually, no, it's so-and-so. And I keep getting it wrong. And I don't understand that. How could I get it wrong? It's just terrible. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. I got something that bothers me. And rather than talk about it, I thought I'd scream about it. Right? I'm just saying. I gotta tell you, you're doing it again. You're going through life and you're hoping that somebody else is gonna do something to support or give you something, and it's not gonna happen. It's like you're looking for white people to co-sign what you do, and it's ridiculous. Like, I don't understand that. Came across an article in BlackEnterprise.com. Ohio University students plan next steps after university pauses Black alumni reunion. In a statement from the 2025 Black Alumni Reunion Planning Committee, organizers say the decision to cancel more than 40-year tradition was made in light of the U.S. Department of Education's Dear Colleagues letter and the impending Ohio Senate Bill 1. Who cares? If you're alumni, meet. You don't have to meet under the auspices of Ohio University. Who cares what they say? You planned it and you canceled it on campus. We're going to be in Ohio And we're going to what? We're going to have a black alumni reunion. With or without. Matter of fact, we won't even mention your name. We'll just have a black alumni reunion. And we won't mention Ohio University. Like, why do we do that? Oh, it's just terrible. The decision was not made lightly. We're deeply saddened, disappointed, and disheartened. Ridiculous. For most alumni that attend the Black Alumni Reunion, hotels and flights are booked years in advance since the event takes place every 3 years. In light of the news, Ohio University Black Alumni Student Connection is planning to host a virtual OU Black Alumni Town Hall meeting on March 9th to discuss how to move forward and the attack on diversity in Ohio higher education. Well, first of all, why are you letting them attack you? Why are you feeling like you're attacked? You're there, you got the money, you got the hotel, you plan it, exclude the university. Literally exclude them. Tell them you're not welcome. And so what it does, it shows black excellence and people show up for homecoming. You know, to star-studded and great alumni. So as of July 1st, 2023, the U.S. Census Bureau showed that of the 62,700 residents in Athens, Ohio, 2.9%, a little more than 1,800, are black. Black student enrollment at the university reflects the town's population. In the same year, more than 20,000 students and only 1,120 are black. So what? The canceling of the black alumni reunion sent shockwaves of disappointment through the Bobcat community, both locally and nationally. Why? Oh, this stuff that was supposed to be on campus. Oh, we're moving it off. Find somewhere else and go. Why are you looking for encouragement and support from people who clearly don't support you? The university itself didn't even fight against the state. They haven't even passed the bill yet, and they already gave up. What does that tell you that your alumni, I'm sorry, that your university of which you're an alumnus thinks about you? They folded like a cheap tent. Didn't care two flips. But I told you that beforehand. I told you that when COVID was over. I told you when everybody was talking this nonsense. I said it is not going to last. That is why it's nonsense. Not what they're doing is nonsense, but the fact that they're lying to you and telling you, oh, it's going to last. It'll be there. And it wasn't. And so now you're sitting here looking like a fool. Like, how do you let somebody else cancel your black alumni reunion? Like, I don't understand that. We showing up at Illinois State Black Colleagues Association, and we having them in October, homecoming. And we have our own set. We have our own party. We have our own parade. We get our own permits. And if you don't like it, too bad. And guess what? Illinois State is supportive. Hispanic students do it. Muslim students do it. Christian students do it. If you want to be who you are, do you. Long as it doesn't interfere with the culture and the overarching reason Illinois State University is there. No, I'm not speaking for the university. They do it and have a good time doing it. It's just weird to me. Oh, we're disappointed. What are you stopping for? You should still go. You should check into your hotel. You should still have dinner, still have a party, still join up and move on. You don't let somebody tell you whether or not your culture is relevant or not. Who does that? I think weak people do that. Weak people that need white people to tell them that they have worth. That need black people to tell them they have worth. Hispanic people to tell them they have worth. Asian people tell. You get my point? It's a human frailty. It's not just racial. If it's even racial, it's a human frailty. We want people to support us. We want people to, and then you get to a point where you go, why am I doing this? Why do other people slam me because they think I have too much energy or you're uppity or this or that, when in fact, I'm not dimming my light so that you can feel better about yourself. If you don't feel good about yourself, or if something I said or did troubled you, that's on you. It's just rude. That's what you think. I don't care if an entire baseball field thinks it's rude. If it's rude, okay. Because in the end, the only person that I have to look at is me. And I had to stop listening to what other people said or other people that didn't like me because I was being me. Never dim your light. Never dim your light so that somebody else can feel good about themselves. That's on you. If you're looking for somebody else to co-sign, if you were looking for Ohio University to co-sign black people, you should have just looked at the number of people they have in the population, and that should have told you they weren't going to do it. Because when it comes down to it, everybody like Ohio University that uses all these things as an example to dismiss DEI, you can tell them. You can kick rocks.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212. SE said, good afternoon. Let me type in the chat. Good. I love live radio. Let me learn how to spell good first. G-O-O-D. Okay. All right, there we go. 833-212-1017 is the number. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? I mean, do we stop doing stuff because, oh, they're not going to do DEI anymore. We'll just kind of fall into a hole and we'll just cry and, oh, they're not going to help it. I mean, what is that? What exactly is that? Like, we have come through decades, centuries of negativity. And then all of a sudden you get, we're not going to give you a policy, not a law. They didn't wipe out the law. Affirmative action is still here. They got rid of the policy. Now, they're never going to get rid of affirmative action. You know why? Because white women make out better than anybody based on affirmative action. So they'll never get rid of it. They'll curtail it. They'll dance around. They'll move. They'll pretend like it's one thing and it's another. But never will it go away. And the reason it'll never go away is because we are not the recipients of affirmative action. White women are. It'll never disappear. You get to decide to stay home, like I read the article the other day in Whitefish Bay. Or you get to go to work, or you get to go home and go to work. You get to live in a $500,000 house on average, and you get to do this, and you get to do that. You get to walk the street. You get to do myriad things that you don't even think about, because when black people leave a house, they have to figure out, nope, let me not say that. When I leave the house as a black man, I literally have to think about, where am I going? What time of day is it for me to get there? what time of day is it when I come home, and what do I need with me just in case? I don't know a black man that doesn't think like that when they leave home, except they probably live in the DMV somewhere in Maryland in one of the richest zip codes in America, and they don't think about it. One of the richest black zip codes. And they don't think about it. I think about it every single time I leave home. Since I got taught that in Boy Scouts, this is what you say. And luckily it was sponsored by the Chicago Police Department. This is what you say. This is what you do. This is where you go. When you have an issue, say this, do this, go there. So I remember one time I was running for the bus and a squad car pulls up next to me and I got a bag. Hey, what's in the bag? I said, I'm trying to get to the bus. There's nothing in the bag. Like, I don't understand. Like what? What's in the bag? I said, I'm not telling you what's in the bag unless you stop and search the bag, but you have no reason to stop and search the bag because you're going to make me miss my bus. Now, which is it? You want me to talk to you? Or you want me to miss the bus and then you're going to give me a ride where I'm going? And then he said something to something and blah, blah. And I said, well, I know this is District 6, but I want to go to District 3 to talk to my uncle. And then all of a sudden, demeanor changed. That's privilege. When you've been doing that your whole life. But even I had to get taught, this is how you answer. This is what you say. This is where you go. This is what you do. And it's unfortunate you have to do that. It's unfortunate that you have to tell a black male when you're out, you get stopped by the police or you get around people. Like I literally, when I'm in a parking lot, and I know this is terrible that you do this and you shouldn't have to do it. When I'm in a parking lot and I'm just one of those people, I back into parking spaces, even when the sign says you can't. Because I want, if I got to leave fast, I want to see where I'm going. That's just me. I back in. But if I back in and somebody else pulls in straight and it's a white woman walking in her car and I got to go the same place and she think I'm following her, I wait. I had one woman say, that's not your car. And I just looked at her because she wanted me to press the button to confirm it was my car. And I refused to. I'm like, no, I'm going to just sit there and look at you. Now, was it race? Probably not. She was being followed by a guy. I get it. But I'm downplaying it, too, because in the end, you just get tired. You get tired of dealing with it. And that's why I say if they're going to why did you halt the university halted the black reunion? Why don't you just have it? Just go have your reunion and forget about them. Kick them to the curb. Now, granted, if you was from New Jersey, I can see that. If you was from New York, I can see that. But at some point, y'all got to let them go. 833-212-1017. Like, why do you, I'm a cancel? Well, the university doesn't, you know, they got a law in Ohio that hasn't passed yet. Well, they're going to pass a law, and then we're not going to be. Did they tell you you can't have your reunion? Like, how can a state tell you you cannot have a reunion as a black person? Makes absolutely no sense. And the fact that you would let somebody tell you that. See, I almost said something. You should smack them. But you're not. Because violence is never the answer. Even the screaming and the hollering and the fighting on the college campuses, sit down and talk. Sit down and talk. Dude, let me say hello. Good. Oh, I got to do this. I think this is the right way. Yes, there it is. Just speaking to people on the chat. And I mean, if you want to stream and watch us on YouTube and at 1017thetruth.com, just check it out. Make sure you subscribe, hit the notification bell so you never miss a minute of a live show like this, Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris. But at some point, we have to take a step back and just do what we do. Have the party, plan the party, go find a venue, and go about your business. And if they got a problem with it, too bad. They have an issue with it, too bad. Well, what's the university going to think? What I would do is take my money and tell them to kick rocks. And by the way, your alumni association, stop giving money to the university. Stop giving money to the university. Stop funding. Because, you know, the next thing they'll say is, well, you know, we can't fund black scholarships. Okay, then we'll fund black scholarships. But we'll also fund black scholarships not at this school. I'll tell people to go to another school. I'll tell them to go attend another school. Because you don't appreciate the richness that they bring based on their culture. So keep your money. Tell all the students that want to go to school there, don't go. It's only, what, 1,120 out of 20,000? It's nothing. I don't even want to multiply that and give it a percentage because it's almost depressing. And that's it. And you're done. And you shut it down and you move on. And you go have your party. I would pick another city myself. That's just me because I'm petty like that. I would pick another city nearby, make sure they get the news and the radio, the TV, the social media, everything shows that we went in and we spent X amount of dollars that the university could have had, and we raised X amount of scholarship money that the university could have had, but we'll take care of it because we don't trust the university. Because they fell like a cheap suit. They're garbage. And so leave. It's the same opposite of when you say, I live in a food desert and we don't have any food. Well, then get together and build a store. All the stores that are in our neighborhood are not owned by black people. Then go buy them. Just go open up your own store and put them out of business. Like, I don't understand. Like, that is the American way. If you the only way to beat people is to beat them doing what they're doing. So if they're in business, you get in business. They have a business, build one bigger. Oh, you want to put like chains and doors and bars and all that crap when all I want to buy is some milk and you hand it through this bulletproof glass and you got to put your money in first and you got to trust the person to give you your food. And if they don't like you, they'll just take your money and don't give you. Oh, nah, we're not doing that. Here's what we're going to do. We're just not going to give you our money, period. We'll build our own store. See what happens then. You know that old phrase, put your money where your mouth is. I say, in addition, let your feet talk. So you might have to ride the bus to the store for a few. Okay. But it's time to counter and come up with our own. If they don't want DEI, then we create our own DEI. If we're going to be diverse within our race. If we're going to be equitable within our own race. And if we're going to be inclusive, men include women and women include men that are black. And that's it. You know why? So that's what they do. And I ain't mad.
You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Thank you. Francis Skinny Man died of a big disease with a little name. By chance his girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there are 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Hey, Kyle don't know nothing about that. It's Prince. I don't know nothing about no Prince. He be pretending. And then I thought I was, man, I thought every day Kyle's show is pop off. Is pop off Kyle. He'd be whooping up on somebody. I'd be like, dude. Like, I could be all depressed. 12 noon, I turn on, boom! I'm energized for the rest of the day.
I'm a head buster.
I'm not touching that. That was Kyle Wallace, y'all. 833-212-1017. Is the number. Whew. All right. At this point, says News1.com, it almost seems reasonable to assume that every single police officer and every single police department in America is rife with police officers who openly discuss their racist contempt for various ethnic groups when they don't realize they're being recorded or think their bigoted text exchanges won't come to light. But even if you're a back the blue type who refuses to believe every police department is guilty of this, and they all are, you have to be truly delusional if you're surprised the Los Angeles Police Department is the latest institution of racially disproportional policing to become the center of racist recordings. It's a scam. According to the LA Times investigative report, an officer working LAPD's recruitment office secretly recorded roughly 90 conversations between officers and supervisors, openly discussing their hostility toward the Black and Hispanic community. Or in this case, they said Latino. You know, the very people who are typically the targets of racial profiling and overly aggressive policing that tends to result in egregious acts of police brutality. I don't know if I'd go that far. A former complaint has been filed against the involved officers. So in one conversation, a Latina LAPD officer offers advice on how to fight African-Americans. You hit Black people in the liver. I heard they got weak livers. Whoever said that? She said, according to the complaint filed on January 5th with the LAPD Professional Standards Bureau and the Inspector General's office, the same officer allegedly described a Latina janitor to her colleagues as a wetback. The complaint accuses LAPD Sergeant Danny Young, or Zhang, J-O-N-J, J-O-N-G, of leading the presidential prejudicial banter, Freudian slip. In one conversation with subordinates about Dodgers legend Fernando Valenzuela, who passed away in 2024 from septic shock, Jung allegedly said, I know why he died. He ate too many tacos. The complaint also claims officers reportedly referred to Black people as monkeys. So a Latina officer is out there using anti-Latino slur, a racial slur, against a Latino citizen, indicating that Black people aren't the only people with self-loathing, sunken place residents in our midst. And an Asian cop is accused of leading the whole doggone clannish discussion. It's just wild how many people of color are out there who need to be reminded that aligning themselves with white supremacist ideology won't save them from white supremacy. But whether a racist cop is white, Black, Asian, Hispanic, or any other race or nationality, they are dangerous to have patrolling the streets where Black and brown people make up a significant portion of the population. I disagree with that. It's dangerous for everybody that's in public, regardless of race, who make up any part or portion of the population. It's dangerous. They go on to say that if cops are saying racist things, they're racist. And if they're racist, they will racially profile me. Not necessarily true. they'll likely brutalize me and they might kill me. It's really that simple. I think that is a childish way to look at the human frailties of people. That I know black people who feel the same way, who talk about white people in the same fashion, and your out is that they don't have power to be racist, but yet they're racist. And I don't understand that. I mean, I get it. I get why you say it. I get the whole power dynamic thing. But to say about yourself that you don't have enough power or energy to be racist is ridiculous to me. Who acquiesces their power to someone else for the to like what? Why would you die on that hill? Oh, I just don't have the power. You know, I'm just weak. I'm gonna give everybody else all the power, the words, the energy, the yeah. Okay. 833-212-1017. What are your thoughts on the fact that you have a police officer who had the temerity, the chutzpah, to record and complain about racist cops? Now, see, what's missing from that article is why that officer became that way. So what happens is when you work in a neighborhood and you work with the same people all the time and you do the same thing all the time, you become jaundiced. You begin to see the world through rose-colored glasses. If you went to the same houses like I did in District 7 that were predominantly black over and over and over and over and over and over and arrested the same people over and over and over and over for and even on the South Side, predominantly white, arrest the same people over and over and over and over and over. I'm telling you, I worked at District 6, right after 9/11? It was after 9/11. So it might have been 2002, late 2001, 2002-ish, somewhere around in there. It was after 9/11. Yep, it was. So when I was on the South Side, I thought, like, crime that white people committed growing up on the South Side of Chicago, predominantly black, middle class, upper middle class neighborhood, even though I wasn't. It was kind of, you just had these ideas about white people, right? Because it just kind of came through, that tribal knowledge that came through. And then I started to look and I started to see how white people actually acted on the South Side of Milwaukee. Now, they weren't white people in Chicago, but white people in Milwaukee. I only saw white people in Chicago downtown, in suburbs, or on the North Side. And I moved here, and I thought, well, let me see what y'all do. Y'all go out on Saturday night. You come home Sunday. You watch a Packer game or a Bucks game. You get mad that they lost. You beat up your wife. You go to jail, and then you get out Monday afternoon and go to work because you work second shift or overnight. Like, really? Like, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. And I thought to myself, wow, that's rich. And then I started to get a little more diversity and a little more, you know, different people and different, and started to realize, and it started to even out. But if you get the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over, right? If you're a Latina police officer working in a black or Hispanic community, you can become hardened against the humanity that's needed in order to police. Because you get tired of doing the same thing every day over and over, crime after crime after crime after crime. You know, the same thing in a white community, crime after crime after crime after crime. Media just keeps it quiet. Oh, we just... And now we have this ridiculousness in Los Angeles. You think Los Angeles is the only police department that does this? I've literally heard police officers say this on the Milwaukee Police Department. Heard them to the point where I literally said something to them like, what did you say?
Well, you got to be careful because ain't nobody going to back you up. Or ain't nobody going,
no, no. And that's why on the department, I had a reputation of being a pain in the behind, or as they say, a pain in the patootie. Because I wouldn't let you just get away with stuff like that. But we all have to stand up. So that Black alumni reunion at Ohio University, man, y'all need to tell them we coming. You can cancel what the university gonna do, but we coming. And if you don't like it, don't kick rocks. Well, I can't say what I said because I want to stay on the radio.
You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Will be okay. I heard from the heavens that clouds have been gray. Pull me close, wrap me in your aching arms. I see that you're hurting. Why'd you take so long to tell me you need me? I see that you're bleeding. You don't need to show me again. But if you decide to,
you're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. That's my girl now. I used to be like, eh, Lady Gaga. I heard that cut. I was like, I'm done. I'm a fan. 833-212-1017 is the number. I'm a fan. I'm a straight up fan. Not of Ohio University, but I'm a fan. But I'm a fan. Oh, man. It's ridiculous. Hey, just as a reminder, I got my top five at five coming up. Was that my 42 break? Okay. All right. I'm just doing too much. I'm doing too much. But speaking of doing too much, so I saw a quick story before I do my top five at five, of course. I had a quick story in Black Enterprise. Angel Reese says WNBA players are preparing to strike to demand higher pay. While discussing the upcoming collective bargaining agreement with fellow player Dejanae Carrington on her Unapologetically Angel podcast, WNBA star Angel Reese touched on the potential for a player's strike. I've got to get in the meetings because I'm hearing, like, if y'all don't give us what we want, we sit now. That's a possibility, Carrington said. The discussion ignited debate on X, with fans reacting strongly to the possibility of a WNBA player strike for higher salaries. Reese joined the conversation to respond to conservative influencer AKA for sharing a misleading post claiming she demanded equal pay with NBA players. I love how y'all have selective hearing. I'm hearing if they don't give us what we want, we're sitting out. And that's the truth. I never said anything about the NBA. We are preparing to stay at the negotiating table for as long as it takes. Here's the link to my podcast so you can hear the conversation too. I will continue to use my voice to speak for what we want and deserve as a league. Now, what are your thoughts? Do they have enough? So Reese signed a four-year, $324,000, $383 rookie contract ahead of her debut WNBA season 2024, earning under $75,000 in her first year with an even lower salary set for 2025. Would you work like that? When a male basketball player gets, now granted, they got the sponsorship, they got the fans, and they make like $30 million in a year, and you'll never make $30 million in your entire career. And then people hide behind diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, They created a league for you. They gave you what the market would bear, and the market would only bear $324,000 over 3 years. That's what normal people make over 3 years. Now, you did get the shoe endorsement. I'm sure you did something, right? You did get this kind of endorsement, that kind of endorsement. So you make a little more. Nowhere near what men make. Nowhere near. Speculation about a player strike follows months of debate sparked by Reese's revelation that her NBA salary isn't enough to cover her expenses. Reese signed, again, the four-year $324,000 contract. I'm living beyond my means. Hating pays them bills. Baby, I just hope you know the WNBA doesn't pay my bills at all, she said last October. I don't even think that pays one of my bills. Literally, I'm trying to think of my rent for where I stay at. Let me do the quick math. I don't even know my salary. What, $74,000? The WNBA has yet, which has yet to turn a profit since 1997 and has relied on NBA subsidies, faces ongoing financial challenges. In October, the Players Union for the WNBA opted out of its current collective bargaining agreement 2 years ahead of its expiration. While the existing CBA remains in place through the 2025 season, both parties now have a year to negotiate a new agreement. So what do you think? Sounds like the WNBA ain't going to be around too much longer. And you ready? I'm glad I didn't buy season tickets. I was going to roll down to Chicago, buy me some season tickets, get with some friends, and be like, hey, we get to see this. Because then I'd be mad. I'd have one quarter of, like, yeah. Because we were going to buy a set of four tickets. Right? So it would have been double. But then every time I go to a game, I have access to two tickets. So at least you wouldn't go by yourself, right? Or if you give away, you'd have to give away both tickets because, like, you know anybody that, hey, what you doing today? I think I'll go a game by myself. No. It's going to mess it up. They don't have any advertising. Nobody watch. And part of the problem is when you watch ESPN, everything kind of blends together. So 1 minute you're watching men play, and the next minute you're watching men play. And if you don't look hard, you won't know that it's a college team. And then women are playing, but you really can't tell because everybody has a uniform on and everybody has their hair up. And NBA and college, all the men have long hair and braids, and you can't tell who the heck. So you don't know if you're watching WNBA, NBA, college basketball. It's just basketball. And so there's no differentiation between the WNBA and the NBA. Their seasons shouldn't touch each other. They're subsidized by local teams. Yeah, I don't know. I was looking forward to it, but every time I bring it up, Kyle will holler at me and tell me, you don't know what you're talking about. And then I kind of back up. RC said, I always knew Lady Gaga had a voice. Unfortunately, the industry seems to push their ratchet music and image most of the time, like T-Pain. That guy has an amazing singing voice. Yes, he does. And so does Lady Gaga. But, you know, they can't get past the outfits and all that. But did you see her in A Star Is Born, the remake? It's pretty good. Pretty good. Not bad. I like this Lady Gaga. I had to Shazam that. Yeah, it was. It's cold. I'm telling you, I stumbled across it on Spotify, and I had no idea. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I looked and saw who it was, and I went, wait a minute. That can't be right. She can't sing like that. Yeah, she can. She most certainly can. And I was very impressed. Very much impressed. You know, Gen Z don't know nothing about that kind of music, baby. Especially people from New York. They be faking. We invented rip. Well, whatever. They think they invented house music, but it started in Chicago. But, you know, Just gotta live with people. Just gotta let people be who they are. Just gotta let people be who they are. I'm not gonna say it was Glenn, but you know, just let people see. Gotta let people be who they are. Gotta let people be. So you actually grew up in Harlem?
Born and raised, 110th Street and First Avenue.
Oh, 110th and First? That's what's up. Yeah, you was in it. Yeah, how'd you like it?
I loved it. I hung out on the West Side a lot, played a lot of basketball.
And it wasn't as
I was always everywhere as a kid when it was safe, so.
But it wasn't as bad as people said it was. But
I mean, they gentrified it to all, you know, what now, so.
So now you got to have some loot to live there.
I mean, there's a Starbucks on 125th, if that makes you feel any better or gives you a glimpse of what we got going on. There's Chipotle. Everything that wasn't in the neighborhood 10, 15 years ago was right where it needs to be.
I've been to that Starbucks on 125th.
They still haven't cleaned up 125th Street overall.
Right. Now, did you hear how he said it? Say 125th the way you said it from New York.
125th.
No, you said the 125th.
Oh, 125th.
Yeah. That's some Chicago talk. That's how we say numbers and, yeah. And so every city has their own way of saying street numbers. Top 5 at 5 is coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, 833-212-1017 is the number.